once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome to Insight, and it is without Jack Stogler tonight. He's out doing something somewhere with Marcia, and since he, well, even before he retired, he was doing that a bunch the last year or so, but he had 6 retirement parties, and we missed him a lot of those times, and he's doing something again today, and it's just fine. So we're here with Doug Timmerman, the candidate for sheriff who will be running unopposed in November. Is that correct, Doug?
It is, and first off, I appreciate the invite down here tonight, Neil, and first time, and hopefully many more to come. So.
Yep, we've always tried to have Sheriff Gray on at least once a year.
I might have listened to him once or twice, yes.
So, and it's always good to have county officials, and especially the law enforcement type, but any of the county officials on, because we just, you know, we try to stay local focus, but, you know, county is pretty local. We're involved in the county quite a bit. So,
yes.
So, Doug, tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, where you grew up, education, that type of thing.
Well, sure. And
family, you know, whatever.
So I was born and raised just north of Fort Recovery here, a few miles out by St. Anthony, with my parents, Jim and Janie Timmerman. I have 4 sisters, Connie, Karen, Kathy, and Krista, 2 brothers, Jeff and Adam, which most people probably know by Kirby. So we, like I said, we all grew up out at St. Anthony. I went to Coldwater High School, graduated there in 1991. After high school, I attended the Peace Officers Training Academy in Lima, and was hired at the sheriff's office in 1994 full-time as a 911 dispatcher to start. I will go back a little bit, Jack, and tell you that, you know, my law enforcement, actually, the interest came when I joined the Mercer County Sheriff's Office Explorer Program when I was 16. Mm-hmm. That would have been between or right at the end of my sophomore days at the Coldwater High School.
And so was that something you had thought about for a long time, or did the opportunity just come along and you grabbed it?
Yeah, the opportunity came along. I had a high school principal who was very encouraging to students at the time, Mr. Fair, that he wanted everybody to attend, like, you know, go meet a military recruiter that would mm-hmm. come to schools occasionally, or colleges would come down and try to recruit students to attend their college. And, mm-hmm. and one day the sheriff's office had their Explorer advisor down, and Mr. Ferret encouraged me to maybe go down and meet with them, and quite mm-hmm. frankly, I had little to no intentions of that. I was more interested in maybe the military at that time, but because of an eye injury I had from years ago, that kind of precluded me from, kept me from going to those things. So after the introductions by the Explorer program, I went to the sheriff's office and started riding with the deputies, and only took the first shift to realize that's what I wanted to do. So
that's awesome.
It was. So
most kids that age think, I want to be this or this, and then they find out that they don't.
Correct.
Sometimes yeah. right away, and sometimes not right away.
Exactly.
But to know right away that that's what you want to do, and that it's definitely a real job in where you want to live, which is probably Mercer County.
Absolutely.
But of course you could go anywhere.
Desire to leave this great area that we live in. So yeah, I spent from 94 to 96 being a 911 dispatcher, which, you know, I see that, you know, with some of the things we talked about earlier as far as technology, you talk about something that changed. Mm-hmm. There is no way you could get me back in that seat to be a dispatcher, know what I'm doing. Technology has come a long way, and it's certainly passed me by.
Yeah, but they could train you.
You know that saying about old dogs and new tricks?
Yes, yeah.
You know, so I did that for 2 years. You know, our current sheriff, Jeff Gray, was the chief deputy at the time when I got hired there.
Yeah.
Carl Eicher was the sheriff then. So in 96, there was a road opening that came open, and I applied for that and got that job. You know, there's a little inside joke between the sheriff and I because when he was the chief deputy, then he told me I wasn't ready for that position. And my personal opinion was, is I was glad that Carl Eicher was the sheriff. And ironically enough, I think the sheriff or Sheriff Gray was right because I managed to get myself in trouble the very first day on the road.
So, oh, that's not good. You know,
thank God it wasn't nothing major. But yeah. So I did that for 13 years. And then I went to the detective division, 2010, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I became a detective and did that for until 2012 when I became the detective supervisor. Mm-hmm. Did that until late 2017. Got promoted to the enforcement captain, which oversees the detective division and the patrol division and the task force. Mm-hmm. And in 2018, a year later, Sheriff Gray had encouraged me to go back and switch with Captain Emrine, who was the captain of the corrections division. And we switched and that was a very good move for me. I went back to the jail kicking and screaming, quite honestly. It wasn't something I was looking forward to, but, I got a whole new respect for the staff that works back there.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot. Yeah. And
so do you think Jeff Gray was kind of thinking, well, Doug might be the next sheriff when I retire, so he needs to know even the bad parts all the inside and out of all the little...
I'm quite certain he did, but do we really want to give him the credit for that? Yes, you know, he tells me he's going to be listening tonight, so I'm getting critiqued tomorrow. So, yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Well, I hope you're not getting fired tomorrow.
That's still an option.
Well, Kershaw right? Still replace him in November, if you get fired.
I'd like to keep what I got.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good combination. Yeah.
No, I will say, you know, you mentioned on a couple things here that seem to have been big things in my career that had helped me along the way. And first and foremost is no doubt my family. I am very proud of my family, parents, siblings, in-laws, all of them. They've all been extremely supportive. And as we were talking about with Sheriff Gray, we have had this conversation for quite some time about, mm-hmm. you know, there was going to be a day that he was going to retire, and he had asked me about my interest, and, you know, of course I, you know, expressed that to him. And so since that day, even though those conversations may have been short and long in time, you know, we did have them, and as time went by, they became more frequent, they became more intense, and since the day that he announced his retirement, he and I have been working daily on moving forward. So I can't express to you enough that I appreciate his support. He's obviously got the citizens of Mercer County in mind. He's trying to set me up for success. This isn't him walking away from the sheriff's office and going, what happens, happens. That's not the case. I mean, he wants our office for this county to move forward. And hopefully we don't miss a beat while we're doing it.
Yeah, he has brought the sheriff's department a long way over his however many 20 years plus, whatever that was, that he's been around.
Absolutely. I mean, I could go back, Neil, and talk about the day that I started and you know, the type of equipment we had in the building we were in. It would just amaze you how far we've come. And of course, you need leaders to be able to make that stuff happen. You know?
And he, you know, he worked so hard to get it to a good spot. He doesn't want to just walk away and hope the next guy can figure it out. He wants you to hit the ground running.
Yep.
It's basically a given. I guess somebody could they still do a write-in candidacy?
They can, and I think my understanding is they can do that up until 90 days prior to the election.
I know his first time around, Sheriff Gray did do a write-in candidacy. He intended to run, and then he decided not to, and he decided to, I believe, was the way it went. But anyway, he was a write-in candidate and did not win. And if he can't win, somebody else probably isn't going
to
win.
Yeah, I think it's an uphill battle.
It's really tough. You'd have to have a really good name for yourself.
Sure.
And there are qualifications that probably anybody that would have the qualifications is either happy with where they are or not ready to be the sheriff yet. So So presumptive that you're going to be there, and he wants to make sure everything flows just a smooth transition. People basically don't even realize that the sheriff changed.
Well, I hope that's the case. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, you want to take that baton and run with it.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, I should, and I know he wants me to as well, take the baton and run with it, but make it better yet. I mean, he has brought it a long way, but let's keep that going and you know, with some fresh new ideas as well.
Yeah. So. And a big part of that is newer technology and more things that come along.
Absolutely.
You know, I think he might have, he probably was just at the beginning of when DNA was being used. You know, he probably didn't know much about that before he became sheriff. And it would have been somewhere around that time and wouldn't have been maybe used a lot around here. If I'm thinking right, it was probably a fairly new thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was
the very late 90s, I think, but I'm not 100% sure.
Even when I was
sure
a detective, it was still challenging to get DNA tested because... Yeah. You know, you're talking about the state testing that stuff for you at the crime lab, and you just, not everybody can send DNA there for what they would consider minor crimes in their eyes, even though it's you know, very important to the victim. But you know, vandalism, they're not probably not going to test DNA for a vandalism case, but so. Yeah, technology and everything else.
And who knows what's coming after that. So
exactly.
Yeah, he wants to make sure that there's somebody that's going to keep on improving things. Exactly. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about more about the sheriff's department, what's going on now, and what may be coming in the future. We'll be back in just a minute or two.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. If you're serious about your lawn, you should get a lawn or garden tractor sold by someone who is dedicated to knowing their products. That's why more and more people are realizing the value in purchasing lawn and garden tractors from a local independent simplicity dealer like K&L Tractor. We offer test drives, financing plans, service technicians, setup and delivery, and of course, the best tractors and zero-turn mowers made. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
The Cy Iota's Eyes annual Brick Street Market is coming up on Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2 on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery. This will be a hometown craft and food fair featuring local merchants, vendors, crafters, and food trucks, and there will be a kids' corner featuring food and crafts from our younger vendors. If you're looking for some unique gifts and decor, this is where you want to be. Plus, our library will again be having their popular puppet show for the kids from 10 to noon. Also at our library, there will be an art show featuring works from our middle and high school students. And many of our merchants will be having spring specials during the Brick Street Market. You don't want to miss this fun event, the Cy Iota's Eyes Annual Brick Street Market, held right here in downtown Fort Recovery on Saturday, April 27th from 10 to 2.
Welcome back to Insight, we're talking with the Chief Deputy, is that where
that's
you are
correct,
now? Chief Deputy Doug Timmerman and future Sheriff of Mercer County. That'll be voted on in November, and you'll be sworn in, what, January 1st?
Well, January 6th is my, I think the Sheriff Gray's term ends on January the 5th, so
okay.
Midnight the 6th is when the takeover would be, I guess you could say. So obviously, if the election goes as we plan, I hope that the there will be an actual swear in.
There's a pretty good chance if you vote for yourself and nobody else is running against you, you will be elected.
I my wife Jill, I hope she's listening to my girls Sammy and Sierra. I hope they're listening. But if I don't get at least three votes, I guess we'll have to have a chat with them. I guess. So,
yeah. So, well, I'm pretty sure I'll be voting for you.
Well,
so,
I appreciate that.
So, I've never not voted.
How about you, Rock? Are you voting for me?
Sure.
Okay.
if it means a get out of jail free card
right,
for him,
he might want a bunch of them.
So you've been a road warrior, I guess we'll call it. You've been a detective. You've done some stuff. Are there any like interesting stories about being the road deputy, or is that just kind of run of the mill and catch speeders and things like that?
No, I mean you would occasionally run into some very interesting things. I felt like I was productive when I worked the road. A lot of my years was on midnight shift, and I always felt like my priority was keeping track of the businesses and who was around them at 2:30 in the morning. And the one thing is you would find yourself in a hairy situation once in a while, even in Mercer County, that would scare you. You know what I mean? So, one of the guys that trained me years ago always said, you better trust your gut first, because it's usually telling you the truth. So, I've had a couple situations where, I had gentlemen in a car with a gun and stuff like that. That's a little worrisome. So, if you want to say the most challenging case, probably goes along with our conversation before we got on radio here tonight, which is also the longest case. I helped with starting that case, which was the skeletal remains that were found on Grand Lake St. Mary's.
Yeah.
But that was also occurring about the same time I was going through some promotional processes. So I was the detective sergeant when that started, other detectives had worked that case and kept it going over the years. And, if you recall correctly, I want to say it was roughly right at 6 years before our office was able to solve that.
I can't imagine how that possibly got solved. Sheriff Gray, when he was on a couple of years ago, explained all that whole thing. We saw a lot in the paper, and I thought I knew a pretty good amount of what went on. And we got about 10 minutes into the story, and he would say something, and we thought, really?
Yeah.
And then he said something else, and we thought, really? It was just surprise after surprise of things. If somebody wants a really interesting thing, go back in our archives and catch that with Sheriff Gray, because it's just unreal how that ever possibly got solved.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, it would literally it blow your mind about the details of the case. But, in full transparency, we are a very small county. By standards of the state of Ohio, we just don't have the criminal activity, and thankfully for that, that some of the larger counties do. And so that then makes some of our people unsure, me included when I was a detective, on how to work some cases. But the thing I want to point out to the citizens of this county is at no time did Sheriff Gray and or the detectives ever give up on that case. And the work that they put into that, I'm talking about Megan and Carla and Chad, who worked that case, the majority of it. And I was the enforcement captain when a lot of that was going on, and they certainly updated me on things as it was going on. it would shock your conscience a little bit about some of the things they found out, and it blew my mind that they were able to find these details. But yes, like, you know, you want to talk about something that, if you wanted to go back in time and look at the archives of how that really played out, it's hard to believe that it got solved and that people the size of our county were able to solve it. But that just goes to show the quality of hard work that we have. Our detectives put a lot of effort into that, you know, and we ended up on the day of the arrest, you know, we ended up eliciting a lot of help from, you know, the road deputies, sent some people to North Carolina and sent a detective to Franklin County, down to Columbus, and a couple of our detectives over to Marion, Indiana, and got some help from, you know, BCI and I that send investigators to go with them. But it was truly amazing. I know it's got to be a feather in the cap for the sheriff, but I'm extremely proud of the work that those individuals put into that. You know,
And Sheriff Gray mentioned one thing. We are a small county, very seldom have that type of crime, and may not really know how to handle it, but there's all kinds of people that if you find somebody at the state or maybe a different county level that can help you. I think the way he put it was, we had the time to really dig into it, where Franklin County, you know, Montgomery County, they don't have time.
Would have probably put it on the shelf with lack of leads. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And and there were no leads.
Sure.
I mean, for forever. And then to know to send whatever it was down to Texas, something from, I mean, nobody ever heard of that, you know.
Oh, sure. You know,
I very few people even knew such a thing existed.
Yeah, and, you know, we had, and on those types of things, you know, we obviously made calls, you know, the Montgomery County Crime Lab, you know, helped us out with a pathologist that, you know, helped with that. You know, I got to be friends with a BCI agent that helped me on, you know, a local homicide here in Fort Recovery on the Gruby case. We made phone calls to him. You know, he helped us get, you know, pointed in the right direction as well. But, you know, that just, you don't always need to know the answer. You need to know where to go find the answer.
Yeah.
And relationships in the law enforcement world is everything. If you have relationships, you can reach out to other investigators that have had something similar. You know, you have relationships even with our local county officials. Things run so much smoother when we are all singing from the same sheet of music, you know.
Yep.
And how better can we serve our citizens than all of us being on the same page and trying, you know?
Right.
So,
yep.
I mean, that's the goal. You know, I'll throw kudos out to Carla. You know, she was a big part of that skeleton case.
And what's her last name?
Well, it was Carla Guggenbiller here from Fort Recovery, who's now Carla Bacher. So, you know, it just, you know, all these people are local born and raised people. There weren't nothing special, except we got the training and, but you talk about somebody that put a lot of hard work and her heart and effort into this, you know, between Carla and Chad and Megan, they just really didn't leave any stone unturned on that case. And I'll never forget the day she showed me something on the computer off of a search warrant that she got. And she said, "Hey, look at this." And right then and there, I knew, it's like, okay, we have the suspects. Yeah, you just knew. You know, you found the piece that we needed, and it started that whole process of, you know, going to Columbus and finding the apartment and all the other stuff.
So. Yeah, the thing that was really just amazing to me was when they analyzed the bones, and there was a certain mineral there, and the map that showed where that was, and there's this one little tiny place in
Kentucky,
Corbin, Kentucky,
yes,
I believe
it was.
And you know, and I think Sheriff Gray described it as something he thought was dirt on the screen, and he couldn't brush it off, and so he asked what that is, and so he thought, well, that's if there's somebody missing there, that's going to be easy to find with these places where there's, you know, county upon county.
Absolutely.
We might. So we'll look there. And sure enough, there was that. And it's just flabbergasting the way that was solved.
Absolutely. And I think, Neil, you had mentioned that, the sheriff had indicated that we have, because we don't have that major crime going on all the time, that we had maybe the time and some resources to put towards that. But, the things that come from that is what people forget is when that's going on, no other case is getting turned over to the detectives. So, the deputies stepped up. They kept their cases that would have normally been turned over to the detectives. And, you talk about a whole office, whole team approach. If we needed something monetarily, we needed to buy a piece of equipment, we needed to send somebody somewhere, the answer was never no from the sheriff. It's like, what do you need? What are we going to gain from this? And, we never had our hands tied behind our back. He put full faith in the detectives, and whatever he needed, they needed, he made sure he provided it for them.
Yeah.
So, it's a top to the bottom approach that takes everybody to make it happen.
So let's take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some more things, including what may be happening when it is Sheriff Doug Timmerman.
Okay.
Back in
Sounds good.
A minute.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Since 1989, Case IH Maxim Series tractors have earned a reputation for longevity, reliability, and productivity. Find out how the latest generation of Maxim can raise your productivity at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Start with the Active Drive 8 dual-clutch transmission, delivering a wider range of working speeds without torque interruptions or manual gear changes. And with models ranging from 116 to 145 horsepower plus a two-wheel drive option, there's a Case IH Maxim Series tractor to meet your needs. To learn more, visit Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Fort Recovery High School 2024 prom will be held this Friday at Romer's in St. Henry. The promenade will be held in the Fort Site Fieldhouse beginning at 6 o'clock. This year's King candidates are Sage Wendell, Riggs Toby, Lucas Acheson, Rex Leverett, and Drew Benn. And the Queen candidates are Chloe Bupp, Kenzie Garkey, Sage Luthold, Mara Pearson, and Ellie Will. The prom king and queen will be crowned during the promenade at the Fort Site Fieldhouse, which will be open to the public. Guests wishing to watch the promenade will need to enter through the commons. The doors will open at 5:15, and the promenade will begin at 6.
Welcome back to Insight. We're here with Doug Timmerman. We'll call him future sheriff of Mercer County. We've talked about, what you've done and some of the cases. What are the biggest problems we have in Mercer County that the sheriff's department deals with?
We had talked earlier too, Neil, that, drugs are a factor. They've been a factor for a while, that those go up and down on the amount or what types of drugs people are using. We still have a serious concern about heroin and meth use. So the problem with those is sometimes they can turn into other crimes because people are trying to feed their habit and stuff like that. So,
yeah, even if you have a really good job, you can't afford cocaine every day.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, that causes thefts to happen and occasional breaking and entering and those types of things. So obviously that's concerning. We have several cases in the past and present of, you know, some internet crimes against children type activity, which is concerning.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. So, I know you and I talked shortly before we got on the radio of concerns of, you know, especially when it involves children, to make sure that they're not being exploited, you know, from our area. We've seen, I'm not saying there hasn't been, you know, crimes against the children here, but as far as the exploitation on the internet, we don't have any reason to believe that children from this area are being exploited on the internet.
Yeah.
So I know that's, it's not good.
Right.
It's, you know, our sole job is to protect our citizens here. So,
and I think some of that comes from kind of everybody knowing everybody and knowing if somebody has children going in and out of their house,
sure,
or something, you know, there's always something suspicious or something
absolutely
doesn't look quite right or whatever it may be. I don't think people are afraid to mention something to somebody so that it can be looked into. If you see something, say something, and if it turns out to be nothing, perfect. That's exactly what we want.
And that's a good point, because we do have that occasionally. We have children that report things to their teachers or babysitters, mm-hmm, or even religion teachers that we get called about. And thankfully, we found some of those to not have occurred, which, but, you know, at least we know there's some fail-safes in place for that to happen.
Yeah,
so,
vehicles coming in and out of places, or something parked in the wrong place. It's, or, you know, every day this car is here or whatever it may be. It just, things like that. If you see something, say something, they'll check it out. If it's nothing, that's perfect.
You know, and I guess, you know, Neil, to go along your lines of what kind of trends you see, and I don't know if this is a trend, but what's certainly concerning is, you know, we have a little bit of fear of this open border that we've allowed to happen as to, you know, what kind of repercussions are we going to see from that?
Mm-hmm.
You can only turn on the news and not only get depressed, but see the negative things that have happened with some people crossing the border. Obviously, mm-hmm, there are criminals involved in those people crossing the border. That they're not all criminals, certainly, but
probably very, very few. But it doesn't take very many to make it a big problem.
It does not.
1% bad guys is bad,
especially with the amount we have left over here. You know, so we've obviously been to some training on that. We've been in, got some intelligence on stuff that have come across as, you know, things to sort of watch for. To me, that unknown of what this could, mm-hmm, fall out of this could be is going to affect everybody in the United States to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So
now here in Fort Recovery, we do have some, I believe most of them Mexicans. We've had some Puerto Ricans. Almost every one of them works at Cooper Farms, mm-hmm, and Cooper Farms makes sure that they are documented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't seem to see, and I don't get to all the towns or anything, I don't seem to see just random, you know, we're all a whole bunch of white people around here. Someone of color is going to stand out some, but I don't see them kind of roaming around with nothing to do.
Well, and I think the we had Captain Baker, Sheriff Gray, and I had went to a border to check on some issues that had come up, mm-hmm, and to get trained on some issues. I think it's the ones that we don't see are the ones we're concerned about.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So many of them are coming across for a criminal reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you also hear the stories on the news about, you know, some of these countries are emptying their prisons and sending, you know, we're not getting their best, you know, so that's the part that's concerning.
Yeah,
so, So I did, you know, I know we talked about that. That is a thing that is on the top of our mind that we want to pay attention to.
Yeah, and, you know, we have, it doesn't seem like we have just We don't seem like we're the place where people would be
congregating,
would be coming to. They might drop by and try to sell some drugs or something, but they're not coming here to start a big thing in
criminal enterprise. In
Salina, but that it things like that can happen. But you know, we're enough off the interstate. We're not a major thoroughfare for a whole lot of stuff. So,
I think we all enjoy our community we have.
Yeah,
so
we have a cocoon.
Keep it that way, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. So. And one thing I've noticed, we do have, as I mentioned, we have several Latino families around. And Cooper Farms, like I said, they all seem to be working at Cooper Farms, and Cooper Farms checks everybody out. It's mm-hmm. Well done, and people know who they are and aren't even slightly worried.
Correct.
That they're seeing, you know, because frankly almost 90% of at least the south end of Mercer County are related to 15 other people.
Right.
So you know who everybody is.
Us
you
included.
See somebody. Yeah. Yeah.
They might not admit to being related to me. Some of them are going to have to be, right?
Yeah. But, you know, people that aren't familiar, people are instantly suspicious. But every single one of these people that I know of, I have one, actually I have a family living upstairs and some that live like across the street from Randy and me, and those people are the cleanest people. Mm-hmm. Their cars are clean. They are our neighbors upstairs. If you're out there when they come home from work, they won't get out of their car. You do not ever see them dirty.
Really? Yep.
Yep. They are clean all the time, and they're the nicest people. I love those. I love my neighbors. They are so nice.
Yeah, that's
and whenever they, mind. Yeah, they go back to Mexico and they come back, they always bring me something.
Yeah,
you know, they don't.
Well,
need to
I mean,
do that.
You know, this country was founded on
yeah.
that, and
yeah.
You know, I think, like you said, the majority of them are coming over mm-hmm. here for a better life. And
right.
I don't think anybody faults them for that.
Yeah.
My concern is, you know, the ones that are coming over here for ill intent.
Yep, and I think we're just sheltered enough that we're not going to be terribly plagued by that, but we have to just kind of watch out.
Mindful of it, absolutely.
Yep. And, you know, it's just nice to know that the people are nice, friendly, and, you know, we've had about 40 years ago, we had one of our local guys marry a Hawaiian person.
Oh, yes.
And we got us a bunch of brown people. Yeah. And they are some of the most popular people in town.
And that's what you
everybody
want.
Loves them.
Yeah.
And Pedro Leon, he was a Mexican, worked somewhere. I don't know where he worked. Everybody loved Pedro. And he has several daughters that are just, you know, and just really good people. So even though they were different and looked different and weren't related to everybody around here, you know, people found out those are good people
yeah.
and pay zero attention to what they look like.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep. It just makes zero difference
well, you're
anymore.
You're either a good person or you're not. And,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
and it's pretty easy to tell.
Absolutely.
Yep. Let's take a quick break again. And this time I think we'll try to get into the future.
Sounds good.
Back right. in just a minute.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858. We'll be right back.
Don't miss Wayne IGA's Big Meat and Deli sale this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Here are their bargains in the meat department. Boneless ribeye steaks are just $8.99 a pound. New York strips are $7.99 a pound. Ground chuck is $3.99 a pound. Bulk or patties. Boneless pork chops are $2.99 a pound. And boneless skinless chicken breasts are also $2.99 a pound. Bulk store-made sausage is only $2.79 a pound. And Eckrich smoked sausage is two for $7. And hot dogs are three for $5. Also check out their deli specials this weekend. This is a great time to stock up and save during the meat and deli sale this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Wayne IGA, the best meat market around. Prom coming up on Friday. The Indians only have one more baseball game this week. That's tomorrow evening, hosting the 12-1 Minster Wildcats. We'll bring you that game live here on Fort Recovery Radio. Our Indians are playing well right now, beating St. Henry 2-0 on Tuesday, so get out and help cheer them on again tomorrow night. But if you just can't get to the game in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with Doug Timmerman, Mercer County's next sheriff. And so let's just get into that. Do you have things planned or kind of just know that you're going to go with the changes when things come up? Any kind of things that you are planning to change that aren't in the works now?
Obviously, it's kind of like a trickle-down effect. You know, when the sheriff goes, obviously, my goal is I want that spot, which means somebody's got to fill my spot. So, yeah. We have, obviously, Sheriff Gray, retiring at the end of this term. He has really afforded me a lot of latitude in preparing my staff for the future, mm-hmm. The command staff. So that is a blessing that not every incoming sheriff is going to get. And certainly that does nothing but better serves our citizens, yeah, that we're more prepared on day one to keep that baton going.
Even though I'm very sure he's listening, I'm going to say something nice.
Okay.
I'm not surprised that he is working with you to make sure everything goes smoothly.
Yes.
He's worked hard to get it where it is.
Well, certainly, yeah.
And you know what he's been doing over the years, and he kind of, in my understanding, kind of handpicked and said, I'd like you to do this.
Well, and I hope I'm the right choice, right?
Yeah. You will be, for sure.
I mean, it's not going to be for lack of trying, I'll say that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We have been working very hard since the end of March on those transitions. We've had a meeting with our entire office, with the sheriff laying out the future or the next 10-month plan at that point. Obviously the staff, anytime there's change, there's a little bit of anxiety, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to put them at ease. I mean, we don't want them worrying about their future. He wants Doug and Jeff to shoulder the burden. Let the anxiety be between us, right? And we have a great working relationship. There are very few things that we maybe don't see eye to eye on, but they're so minor. We always come to a consensus on things. So, you know, he's given me this great latitude to start picking the staff. So I have chosen Captain Emrine, Captain Marty Emrine, who is the corrections captain at this point. Mm-hmm. He will be serving as the next chief deputy of the sheriff's office.
How long has he been on, approximately?
So Marty and I started pretty close in time. I want to say Marty maybe started in 91, 92,
mm-hmm.
Maybe. So we're close in age. We're got about the same amount of years of service. We actually worked a lot of the same shifts on the road over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Both been in command for a little while. Marty is just one of those guys that's always been loyal to the office of sheriff. He's always been loyal to Sheriff Gray, a true friend of mine, and somebody that you can take his word to the bank, and it's good.
Yep.
And I need people to help give me guidance in the future, give me their opinions just to make a good decision. Marty's going to be one of those guys.
Perfect.
Captain Megan Baker is, she's our current captain. She will be the one person that's probably been in her job that doesn't concern me because she knows what she's doing, you know, and I could go right down the list with that. So, you know, I was working today on, you know, I've selected John Wolf to be the captain in the jail. Mm-hmm. And now we are seeking out a second in command for the jail. We did interviews today on that, so hopefully we'll have an answer on that soon.
And I'm going to make a wild guess and say that it's going to be hard to choose because there's no bad
actually, I was on the phone with Sheriff Gray on my way down here, and so we spoke from the time I left the house till I got here, and I told him, I said, you would be very proud of the seven people that put in for that position, because they all truly have their heart in the right place, and if that's the future of the sheriff's office, we're going to be in good hands, because they you can teach people a lot of things, you know, but their character really impressed us today. So I'm very pleased with that. So, yes, to answer your question, that's going to be a very hard decision. They all did very well. You know, and then one of the, you know, talking about the future, have had an interest for a long time about maybe having a full-time training officer at the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. Sheriff Gray and I have spoken about that. We actually had that money in the budget this year to do that. We just didn't have the manpower to do that. So, you know, we're hoping now that we're actually getting a few people hired, that hopefully that happens yet this fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we already have a guy in mind for that. I don't know why we keep coming back to Fort Recovery, but, yeah, another Fort Recovery boy that will hopefully be our training officer.
That's great.
So,
just to throw something in there, do you have enough personnel? Do you need people? This might be a good chance to advertise for some.
And I'm glad you asked
for people to apply.
We have been short in the enforcement patrol division mm-hmm. most of last year in 23. Mm-hmm. We have one gentleman, Jeremy Gruce, finished the academy back in December. He is just about done with what we call our field training program. So he's been riding with the deputy for the last 3 months. He's mm-hmm. just about finished. We have Will Fox, who is currently in the academy, mm-hmm. And he will be done sometime in the end of June, early July. We'll be filling a spot. And then, obviously, if we're going to get this training officer off the ground, we're going to need that other person. And we have Josh Flutterjohn, who just finished the academy out at Wright State. So he is in the middle of his background process right now, but passed the state test. Appears that he's passing all of our background tests fine. So our goal is to have him. That would get us up to full staff, at least in the enforcement side. We certainly could use another, at least one, if not two females for corrections yet. So a tough job, but a very rewarding job. If people, like you say, if you don't mind me advertising, we would love to have applicants for that, and could even still use another male corrections officer at this point. And I talked to Rachel Williams today, our 901 dispatch supervisor. She was in the middle of doing a couple interviews today. We are two dispatchers short yet at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's better, but we still have a few holes to plug. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. And budget-wise, is that something that the money is there?
Oh, yes.
for these
open holes.
Yeah.
That money is budgeted at the late fall, early winter time. That budget's approved by the commissioners, and then of course that budget takes effect sometime after the first of the year. So the money's there. We just don't have the people.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Yep. Because I know from time to time that's been a thing where you wish you had more people.
Correct.
And there were some that would work, but the budget wasn't working correctly. You know, that happens from time to time. And
that's probably going to be my training curve is and again, Sheriff and I have been over this several times, but, you know, understanding that budget. Obviously, for years, I didn't worry about it because that wasn't my job at the office.
Right.
Again, him and, you know, Candy Bacher, our HR person, spent some time showing me and teaching me how that stuff works. So,
That is going to be a challenge.
Absolutely.
And money is always a challenge because, you know, if funds were unlimited, it'd be great.
Absolutely.
But that is not where we are.
No,
and never will be.
No, I mean, even in your personal life, you always want more, right?
Right. So, yep. Yes. Yep. There's always things that you wish you could do or have that would make your job easier. and better and run smoother. But money is an issue. It is a thing.
Absolutely. With that being said, though, we are very blessed that we are supported in our community. I mean,
yes,
we don't often get told no, and you know, I would like to think that's because we spend the money wisely,
right?
Efficiently, but you know, that doesn't always happen in every county. So,
right.
But there's been tough times here too,
right?
You know,
yeah, right. Yeah. Over the years,
sure.
And decades, there's
sure.
been plenty of times when it's been a thing. But I think when you ask for reasonable things,
correct,
the commissioners and you know, everybody will be reasonable and help you out. You
absolutely.
Know, there's all kinds of, you know, every department needs stuff.
Sure.
And could use more, but there's only X amount of dollars.
Absolutely.
But unlike the federal government, we can't just print some more.
Right. Well, and, you know, we're all taxpayers, and, you know, I think the only thing as a taxpayer that we ask is that our government spends our money wisely for us.
Yes.
And that's certainly been our what we've done for years at the office, and that yeah. is my goal to continue to do that.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's been done in virtually every department in
absolutely.
our county
absolutely.
For a while.
Again, just because we're blessed.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So.
We have very good people running for office, and people trust them, I
yes.
think, and for good reason.
Yeah.
They are trustworthy.
Absolutely.
And so the people trust them. So,
yeah.
We talked about drugs and maybe some child
crimes,
crimes against children. Any other kind of crimes, things like that on the horizon that seem to be on the rise? I don't hear anything on the news,
no,
but
I mean, you know, we have our daily crashes,
yeah.
you know, that keeps our road guys busy.
Yeah.
You know, car deers have been really high. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if the deer population's going up, but you know, there is always something to do. As far as any particular crime spiking, I don't see that right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I said, the drugs are always a work in progress.
Right.
Always trying to find ways to do it better, do it more efficiently. You know, that's unfortunately sometimes the drug cases are very extensive and they're very time consuming.
Yeah.
Sometimes the citizens that have filed the complaints can get a little frustrated, thinking nothing's being done. In reality, it is. It's just taking time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be able to build a good case. You don't want to have a case that you
right.
end up losing. And so,
right. And I know you know our prosecuting attorney.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
She's been on, and she says, you know, people say, why are you plea dealing this? We, you know. And just the things you said, sometimes you may not have all the evidence you need to make this conviction, and you don't have the time to do all for every one of those to go to full trial.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, as long as you're kind of working that way and getting good advice between and a good rapport between the sheriff and the prosecuting attorney, you can always get things.
I tell you, Aaron Miner is a blessing for us. She,
yeah, yeah.
That lady, any time of the day or night, you make a phone call, it's very informative information.
She's sharp.
She is.
She's very really
and,
sharp.
If she says she's going to get back with you, she's going to get back with you. If I'm going to follow up and get you a legal opinion, I'm going to get you that legal opinion. You know, she's even called officers, deputies, and, you know, went, hey, this is what I'm thinking on this case, looking for our opinion. Somebody that's really entrenched into her job that has for as young as she is, she's very knowledgeable, and
yes.
we enjoy the energy level, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
She keeps us informed.
We've had some really good ones over the years.
Absolutely.
And she's
just taking it to another level again, you know, which is what we want, right?
Yeah.
So.
And that's what you're
going
to do.
Well, I hope. Yeah.
Hey, Neil,
yeah.
can
yes,
I
sir.
Ask a question?
No, this is Doug's time. No, okay.
Well, no hard ones.
Go right ahead, Randy.
Yeah. Well, I think this is in your ballpark, I hope.
Okay.
Like, in the past, it's been, like, weed and all that other stuff. Is fentanyl still a high thing now, or has it
yeah.
kind of calmed down?
Well, it's fentanyl is laced in so many of the drugs. So your meth is being laced with fentanyl. Other drugs are being laced with fentanyl. One of my jobs that I do as a chief deputy is I'm on what they call the quick response team. Mm-hmm. So if somebody overdoses on a narcotic and has to seek medical attention because of that, or Narcan was used on them, myself, the county EMS director, Kara Smith, and then Matt Ronan from Foundations, the three of us get together. We go out for a house visit, provide these people with resources to get them some help. Now, part of that's because the law requires that, okay? So I have seen a couple of them have success over that. Recently we had one actually followed through with everything. So, you know, that's the goal, is to get them help, get them off of it.
Yeah.
Some of them have been repeats. So to answer your question, Rocker, I mean, fentanyl is still an issue because it's being laced with a lot of the other drugs. Fentanyl is what causes the majority of these people to have their overdoses.
They may think they're taking something that's not nearly what
as potent
that
as
is,
they, yeah. Yeah.
And which still isn't good. But they're most of those things aren't short term fatal.
Correct.
They're long term fatal.
Yep.
In almost every case, but most of it is not short term fatal. Where fentanyl, if that's involved, it's short term fatal.
There's more of that than what people in the community think, those overdoses. So,
wish there were none, but
I do too. Yep. I do too. You know, and obviously, you know, mental health is an issue as well. And
right.
Continues to be, continues to go up in numbers, it appears. And, you know, something that I wish we had better control over.
Yeah.
So
now the mental health thing, do you think there's actually more problems or more realization and reporting, or both?
I honestly think there's more problems. Yeah. I don't remember being, you know, a teenager or young adult being to this magnitude with the numbers that we have now.
Yeah.
Yep. Concerning, I know there's a lot of people out there certainly trying to come up with that magical solution, but
it's tough.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So.
Yep. So, okay. So, anything else we want to throw in there?
I greatly appreciate your time.
Like well, said, we appreciate you coming in and talking to us. We'll probably try to get you again in September, right before the election. September, October, somewhere in there before the election. And
well, thanks again, Neil. Thanks, Rocker.
We like to talk to all the people that are running, even if they're unopposed.
That sounds good.
And some of them don't want to come in.
Well, hopefully, I have some more answers for you by then. So,
well, I won't think of any new questions. But,
okay, sounds good.
But Jack might, if Jack's here.
Maybe we can just replay it.
Yeah.
Good then too, right? So
we appreciate you being on. So let's take one more quick break. We'll come back with Rocker, and you're doing this day in pop culture history.
You betcha.
All righty, back in just a minute.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Appliance and Electronics have been selling and servicing GE appliances for over 84 years. Stop by 1513 North Meridian Street in Portland to browse the large selection of appliances and Radio Shack electronics. Strolls open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. until noon.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-8255. 562-4049.
The Fort Recovery Athletic Department is giving you a great opportunity to save money on your Fort Recovery All Sports Passes. The Pass Blast will be from Monday, April 15th through Friday, April 26th, and will be only for the All Sports Passes. Adult all-sport passes are only $100 during the Pass Blast, down from $150, and the student all-sport passes are half price at just $25. You can click on the order page by going to the Fort Recovery Athletics Facebook page, and they're also available at each of the school offices. Order your passes now and pick them up starting on August 13th. Regular price sales of sports passes will resume on August 12th at their regular prices. Go to the Fort Recovery Athletics Facebook page and fill out the order form between April 15th and April 26th. Don't miss this opportunity to get your all sports passes at the discounted price.
Welcome back to Insight, and we have Mr. Randy Rocker Bon Villain doing his...
On this day in pop culture history.
There we go. And we had, just earlier, we had... future Sheriff Doug Timmerman with us, and kind of going over the things that are going to be happening new and transitioning and all that kind of thing. So I guess have at her, Rocker.
Oh, you'll love this one. Everybody remembers this. It didn't go so well. 1985, New Coke was released, and it tanked.
Yes, it did.
Horribly.
Yeah. You know, did you? Here's the thing. They put more sugar in it. You know why they did that? Because Pepsi put more sugar in theirs, but they didn't tell anybody. They just made it sweeter, and they didn't make a big deal out of it. And Pepsi started gaining a little popularity over a year or so. And Coca-Cola said, we're not going to let them do that. They're stealing our stuff. So we're going to put more sugar in it, and we're going to tell everybody.
Didn't work too good.
No, it didn't work. They should have just shut up like Pepsi did and put more sugar in it and let it go.
That is some marketing boo-boo there.
Yes.
That's a bad one, yeah.
2004, this one kind of hurts. Joe Bonville, my mom, passed away at age 63.
63.
Man, I didn't realize she was that young.
Well, none of my mom's sisters outside of one lived past 60.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Mm. Never made it out of their 60s, I should say.
You better get your dad's genes in.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
I got at least one of them, at least. I got the gambling part in.
Yeah, got that down for sure.
Well, he wasn't a huge gambler. He just always was gambling.
I wish I had one of my mom's traits. Well, I got one of them. I just need the other one that's... The cooking part.
I was going to say, the cooking, that's big.
Yep.
Best noodles ever.
Oh, yeah. Top notch.
Every Christmas.
Today, 1907, Hershey Park opens in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I've never been there.
I have.
I haven't.
It smells like chocolate.
Really?
Yep.
Let's hope so.
You get out of the car, it's like, whoa, that's chocolate.
I like it.
It's awesome.
I might just drive by there.
Yeah. Open a roll of window down.
1982, in case there's any Vietnam veterans out there, I apologize for this next news article. Jane Fonda's first workout tape was released.
Jane Fonda.
Mm. Oh, Hanoi Jane?
Yep. Yep.
Jane was a looker.
Yep.
Yes.
But and she had her exercise videos, and you know, she's a little less militant, I guess you might say, but she's
looked
still
a lot better than Richard Simmons, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
That bar is pretty set pretty low.
Yeah. Hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah, she definitely looked better than Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
And David Letterman never had to spray her with a fire extinguisher.
Although I'm pretty sure he'd like to have.
Yeah.
Are your birthday time?
Oh, boy. Is one of them me?
Could be.
It's not my birthday.
I don't think so.
Oh, good.
Tuesday, we got Megan Wendell.
Megan?
And right. Taylor Lowe.
Megan's Hall of Fame. Or
yes.
Citizen of the Year.
Citizen of the Year. Yep.
Today, we got Bob Laverette.
Bobby?
Our basketball coach.
Yep.
And Amber colleague. Tomorrow we got Tyler Niekamp and Cody Feely.
Yep.
I know that Cody Feely guy.
Two good ones.
I like it.
says in the daytime.
Oh, boy.
He's down there, Neil.
So is it going to be Doug Timmerman so he can get in good with the sheriff?
There you go.
No, sorry.
Should have.
But somebody just as good, if not priceless.
Oh, priceless.
Yeah. Irene Stone.
Yep. She's top notch.
The best.
Yep.
Seen her pictures from the Masters? With her,
yeah,
with Larry
from years ago.
Tremendous,
yeah,
tremendous old pictures.
I would have never guessed that either one of them would ever even be remotely interested.
Never would have thought they'd be interested at all either. Although Stoney's both Dave and Steve.
Yeah. I'm not surprised at that, but I'm surprised that Larry.
Yeah, I wouldn't
even.
I'm
going to guess they might have just gone down there to look at the
flowers.
Landscaping and the flowers.
Beautiful, yeah. Right.
Is it any wonder that Steve Stone ended up doing what he does?
No doubt.
You know, for decades, Irene's and Larry's flowers were always
unbelievable. Yeah,
yeah, incredible every year. Every year.
Celebrity birthday time.
Celebrities.
$6 million man himself, Lee Majors, turns 85.
85. I didn't realize he's that much older.
Lucky
than me.
Little. You know what? He got to marry Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
Kind of wrecked her career
for a little while.
And everybody's favorite liberal director, Michael Moore, is 70.
Well,
70.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, he in 2016 he told everybody that Donald Trump was going to be elected president.
Yeah, he was right.
Yep.
Eventually.
He could see that Hillary wasn't exciting anybody, and Donald Trump was on the rise.
Everybody's favorite crush in the 70s, and mine included.
When you're in the 1970s, this was your crush?
Yes.
Were you born?
I was probably about two.
Two. Oh,
so you had a crush.
Valerie Bertinelli is 64.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Yep. She's a cute little girl.
She was cutie.
Oh, sorry. I'm still here. I was having happy thoughts there for a second.
Flashbacks.
Yeah. George Lopez turned 63.
He's not as pretty as Valerie Bertinelli.
No, he kind of let himself go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he once was as pretty as Valerie?
Not even close.
Oh, okay. Okay. He just said he let himself go. I thought maybe he was looking good for a while.
Wrestler turned actor John Cena turns 47.
John Cena.
Yep. What'd you want us to say? You're acting like we should have said something.
I was waiting for the snicker and you know.
Oh, well, he's funny. He's interesting character.
Apparently he's good at being naked at the Oscars. Not quite sure what that was about, but
He was just showing off his body.
Today's birthdays, author Sue Grafton is 84.
So did she write? Some sort of book?
I'm guessing those romance novels and
romance novels. Ugh.
Hmm. You watch the soap operas, you might as well read romance novels. It's the same thing.
I only watch one.
One's way too many.
Young and the Restless.
Can't beat it.
Good old Victor Newman.
Victor.
Barbara Streisand turns 82.
Babs.
She seems older than that.
82.
She looked good in her day.
Yep.
Yep.
That's all shot to hell.
Pretty good pipes.
Not to hell. She's not like ugly or anything. She's just not.
Time has gone by.
Yes, it has.
Cedric the Entertainer is 60. He's a funny guy.
Cedric?
Yep.
Well, that's all I got, folks.
Oh, that's it?
Well, I guess that's okay.
V, you're by yourself tonight, apparently.
I am.
Sports talk.
Gonna have Christy Diller coming on.
Christy Diller's gonna come in.
The track coach.
Track team.
Sports talk with Fee Dog.
Yes.
Fee Dog.
Fee Dog.
All right.
I'm out of here for another week.
Take a break another and we'll week. Be back with sports talk right after this.
Being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard.